and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Ah, welcome, welcome. We're glad you could make it. You're just in time for the Paranormal View with your hosts, Henry Foister, Cat Cloco, Ceiling Cat, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Jeffrey Gould. In our comfy live chat room here at para-x.com, enjoy our various paranormal investigator guests, mediums, authors, cryptozoologists, psychics, ufologists, etc. So sit back, relax with us, and the Paranormal View.
And welcome everybody right here to the Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for being here tonight, those listening here in the chat room, and those listening from around the world. We appreciate each and every one of you. And if you are listening from somewhere other than here in the chat room, feel free to come right on over to para-x.com, click on the live chat button, and you'll be in with all these wonderful people. You'll be able to interact with them and interact with us by asking questions. Speaking of questions, if you do have questions tonight, you can private chat them to either Ceiling Cat, Cat, or myself, and we will get those questions answered for you. So, with that, tonight we have with us Cat Cloco.
Greetings from the East Coast.
And we have Barbara Duncan, known as Ceiling Cat.
Howdy from the West Coast.
And I'm in between. Tonight, Jeffrey's not with us. He is partaking in something else. So, by that, I don't mean by drinking. So,
he's at a movie premiere, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. So he's even giving up the opening for Doctor Who to be able to go there. So
that's hardcore. Jeffrey loves Doctor Who.
Yeah. So tonight, though, we got a great little show. And I do want to remind everybody that if you're having sound problems, let me know. I've been having issues with my internet. And so sometimes it might buffer still. But if it doesn't, let me know that the sound's coming through great. So we should all have a good time. We got a lot of people in here, and we're going to be talking tonight about we might not be here. How's that sound?
Doomsday! We're talking about doomsday!
Everybody is worried about doomsday. You know, the Bible predicted the Battle of Armageddon, and I think the Battle of Armageddon doesn't say that it was the end of the world, but it was a big battle that was going to take care of a lot of people, put it that way. So doomsday, though, or the end of the world, is can be a lot of different things. Doomsday can be a lot of different things. It doesn't mean that the world may not be here. It might mean that the people might become extinct. Or doomsday could also mean that something could happen and the world itself would go away. And those people who call themselves doomsday preppers and have their little hideouts underground where they can survive, if the world goes away, they don't have to worry about that.
For a temporary period of time. They'll be fine, but after all their supplies run out, they're kind of hosed too.
But for those who may not know, doomsday or the end times predictions has not just been since the 1900s or earlier or sooner than that even. It's been going on for quite some time, hasn't it, Kat?
Oh, yeah. People have been paranoid about the end of the world since the beginning of time. Oh, yeah. It's always amusing. And I'll say personally, this has never been something I've ever been worried about. I guess I take the Hitchhiker's Guide mode of, if it's going to happen, I'll just lay down and let it happen. What am I going to do? What I am afraid of is the zombie apocalypse. And, okay, let's see. How long have people been afraid of the end of the world? If I can find my story, because I have something like 20 tabs open right now.
Barbara might have it.
No, I have. The first warnings were from Assyria. An Assyrian clay tablet dating to around 28 BC bears the inscription, "Our earth is degenerate in these later days. There are signs that the world is speedily coming to an end. Bribery and corruption are common. Children no longer obey their parents. Every man wants to write a book. And the end of the world is eventually approaching, evidently approaching." This sounds like a very loose translation of this translation. But anyway, of course the world didn't end. We are still around quite a few thousand years later. And ironically, it's the same complaints.
The same complaints?
The same complaints. It's the earth is degenerate. There's signs of the world is speedily coming to an end. Bribery and corruption are common. Children no longer obey their parents, and every man wants to write a book. It's kind of... Isn't that what you hear a lot? At least I do in social media. These young kids, these millennials, they don't know how good they have it. They have no respect for their parents. That kind of thing.
Yes. And, I guess no matter how far back you go, like today they say, well, look at the world, how bad it is. There's wars and people's fighting and killing and trying to take over. But if you look down through the centuries, it's always been that way.
Yeah, it has. So when I read through these, and we've got a lot, guys, there's always somebody pointing out some particular year. And in the case of the four blood moons, we're going to have the last one in this month. It's interesting because they're like, something bad happened every time there was a blood moon. Well, if you look at world history, every single day, something bad happens somewhere to someone in the world. So.
Well, other recent ones. Let me look here. I believe it was just recently. Was it 2012?
Yeah, the 2012 with the Mayan calendar ending.
Mayan calendar? Everybody thought, the calendar stopped, so the world's going to end. Well, I don't think it did it?
No, I was opening Christmas presents that day. My family, we're just opening Christmas presents because we had to meet early because it was, I think, December 22nd was technically the prescribed day when we were all supposed to just disappear off the earth. And we're opening Christmas presents and we suddenly just kind of look at each other and go, wait, isn't today supposed to be important? And I look at my watch, I'm like, oh yeah, the Mayan calendar ended. This is the end. This is apocalypse. This is Christmas present opening time is apparently the apocalypse. No.
Well, the other one, it was just before that, which they thought was going to be a big catastrophe, was from 1999 to 2000, where the computers, they said, oh, they won't work no more.
How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different people prophesized, there we go, that in the year 2000, the Earth would just disappear. So, Peter Olivey, Isaac Newton, Ruth Montgomery, Edgar Cayce, Sun Myung Moon, Ed Dobson, Lester Sumrall, Jonathan Edwards, James Harmston, and, Nuwabian Nation. So that's 10. All said we were going to just... Armageddon was coming in 2000.
Well, at least they're saying in the chat room the sound's good so far.
It's not Armageddon to our show yet. Yes!
You know, it's not Doomsday here yet, so.
Yeah.
At least we hope not, anyway.
Yeah.
Barbara, I know you got some stuff also on Doomsday, and you know, there's different things that they talk about happening. And I believe right now there's a lot been talking about earthquakes out on the West Coast and a little further away from there.
I didn't think that was going to be the end of the world, but
no, but it was a big catastrophe is what they're talking about. Yeah.
Well, earthquakes on the West Coast is pretty much a given at any one particular time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. I'm looking to see if there's anything. The Blood Moon Prophecy, well, I'm not sure if that had much to do with the heralding of the planet Nibiru, which is supposed to be coming around. Causing problems. There's always the kill shot, which is the solar flare,
uh-huh,
which people have also been talking about. Right down to an alien invasion.
An alien invasion?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. It was supposed to be around this time when the aliens were coming out of Mount Shasta and going wherever they're going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm still waiting.
I'm still
waiting. Nothing happening yet.
Well, you guys got some other things that's going on out there also, which fires. Mm-hmm. See, I think when they talk about Doomsday, one of the things that I've got on it is there's different things such as there's existential
as existential,
yeah, and one of those is nanotechnology or nuclear war, and another one, which I think there's a lot of people thinks this, the universe is a simulation and will end.
Oh yeah, the holographic universe.
Yeah. Which I think a lot of people thinks that we're just in a little test tube or something.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the Hindus have a theory and in their philosophy that the earth and the universe is nothing more than a dream, and the Brahman goes through 7 different dreams, so the world exists for a while, and then he wakes up, and then it doesn't exist anymore. So it kind of falls along the same line of the holographic universe, which actually is a branch of physics that's being looked at as a possibility.
Yeah. And that reminds me a lot of just the Mayan idea with the calendar, is they've had various other worlds on Earth before the monkey era, which is what we, I think, technically are, and different Mayan gods were in charge of these different worlds, and they would shift, and then the world would end, and then a new god would take over, and a new world would begin. And that's what that Mayan calendar was counting. And that didn't happen, though, of course. We're still here. I think we're still here, unless I'm a hologram.
Swamp Lady put in there, said, if life is a dream, then I want my money back. That's pretty good. I do want to say something real quick, which I was going to start with and forgot. Patsy is home. She's resting. She's not in the chat room because the bright screen. She hasn't even been on the computer yet. She didn't even start watching TV until yesterday evening sometime, and then she don't watch very much of it. Mm-hmm. Her blood pressure and temperature kind of fluctuates. It's down most of the time, kind of like toward the evening, though it wants to go up a little, but not a lot now. Her headaches are pretty much still kind of just there, but not anything like what she had. So they said it'd take about 10 more days, I guess, or something like that for this virus to work through her system. She has no energy hardly, so she just wants to kind of sleep. So that's why she's not in the chat room or even listening. She's downstairs right now, so sleeping.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the couch, I imagine. But anyway, I just want to thank everybody for all the prayers, get wells, and all the energy healing and everything being sent her way. So appreciate that.
And for our listeners that may not have known before, Patsy, who is a, what is it, usually a weekly contributor in our chat room, and Henry's wife had, was it viral meningitis?
Yeah, it's viral meningitis.
Yeah.
It's not bacterial, so it's not contagious what she had. They think that she got it like through a mosquito bite or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It's still scary. I was concerned when you said that's what she had. So I'm glad she's feeling better.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, I took her to, her head had been hurting real bad Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's why she even left the show early.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday morning, I got up and it was hurting her real bad. Her blood pressure was real high. So I took her to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
And they run some, they didn't really run too many tests. They just asked her, are you stuffy, blah, 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 this and that. We're going to treat you as it's a upper respiratory thing. Didn't do anything for the blood pressure or headache or anything like that. And sent her home.
Mm-hmm.
So Sunday night, her blood pressure started going way back up. And Monday morning, I took her to our regular doctor. They doubled her blood pressure medicine. And that didn't really help. By midnight Monday night, I said, that's it. We're going to the emergency room over at Fort Hamilton, which is a different one than I took her to the first time.
Okay.
And they started running all kinds of tests, blood tests, urine tests, everything in the world, and then decided that they wanted to do they did an MRI or CAT scan. They did one of those two first. I think it was MRI first or CAT scan. I don't remember. They did one of them, and it didn't show anything. So then they wanted to do a spinal tap, and they couldn't get it to work in there, so they admitted her to the hospital and did it on Tuesday. And that's when they found out that her levels were elevated a little, which they felt like that it was viral meningitis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they started treating her for.
Yeah.
So with that, though, that's not a doomsday thing there. So
No, but it's really scary.
It is. Especially when they first said meningitis. How in the world did she get that? You know, I said, if she's got it, am I going to get it? You know, no, it doesn't work that way. So.
No.
Anyway, back to the doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I guess, different scenarios in which humanity survives, but civilization is irreversibly destroyed. And there's a lot of those different things going on. One is exhaustion of natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you use up all the oil and water, and then what do? And
well, which science fiction franchise do you want to go with?
Then you got one that, I guess, now with all the space explorations that we can do and everything, is meteor impacts.
Yeah.
They keep saying the big one's going to hit someday. And if it's a real big one, it could, I guess, kill everything on Earth, just like it supposedly did with the dinosaurs. But if that's what happened, I don't even know if they know that it was actually a meteor that did it. So, but you
mean an asteroid?
Yeah, asteroid, meteor.
Yeah. Meteors are smaller.
Oh.
Those hit the Earth constantly.
Well, if you get one of them big ones, it could be bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But they've hit the Earth before, and we've been fine, just meteoroids.
Right.
But I even have a necklace with one in it. Mike gave it to me a few years ago. So I remember growing up, the church camp that I went to actually had a meteor strike zone in it. And it had become overgrown, and there were trees growing in it. And once somebody said, oh, by the way, this is a crater from a meteor hitting the Earth. And I remember standing in the middle of it and finally going, oh, yeah, because it dipped down. I didn't notice it because of all the trees. But once I was told that, I was like, yes, it was quite large, too. It was about the size of a...
Well, isn't there a place in the Midwest called Crater Lake or something like that where a meteor or
something
hit it out there?
Yeah, there's a lot of different crater lakes all around the world. There's Crater Lake National Park. That's in Oregon. But there's similar lakes formed around the world. So, yeah, those have hit us before and we've been fine. Maybe the local fauna may not have been so good, but after a few hundred years, once the dust cloud has dissipated, we're dandy. It's just like a volcano erupting.
So, one of the others is called global warming.
Now, yes.
I don't know how much global warming there is. I mean, they're saying some of the ice caps have melted and stuff. Mm-hmm. Hasn't that happened before?
I am not the person to ask about that. Barbara, do you know?
Well, it all depends on who you talk to, whether this is a cyclical thing or not.
Yeah.
Certainly, we've gone through a lot of ice ages, and it may be a precursor to an ice age, which is the other doomsday event, which is the magnetic poles flip and causes an ice age or other climatic issues.
Always. You know, I'd much rather have it an ice age than like this sun burning us to death. Because I think with an ice age, humans are adaptable enough that we can create a way of still gaining energy and being able to acclimate our houses and buildings and everything, our lives, to a colder climate.
But you still then have to figure out how you get something to grow to be able to have food.
Well, that we can build like greenhouses and things too. But also, I like being cold more than I like being hot.
Cold.
So, I'm like a corpse. I like to be frigid all the time.
Go to North Dakota.
Okay.
I guarantee you'll be cold up there.
All right. Then it'll be perfect. It'll be t-shirt weather.
Let's see. We have bioterrorism.
Yep, that's really scary.
And, you know, not too long ago, I guess, after the Twin Towers, everybody was worried about people sending out letters that had, what was that stuff in them?
Anthrax. That did happen. People weren't afraid of it. It did happen.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That is form of bioterrorism.
Yes.
So, you know, all those different things can be very scary too. Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff that they have that they can send out, you might say, can be very, very, not just deadly, but spreads very easily.
Yes.
Which brings up the whole thing about global warming is that trapped in the ice on both poles are these lovely little viruses that have been sitting dormant for centuries, decades. We might not have any sort of immunity toward. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's watching Fear the Walking Dead, but it's not only just a good zombie television show, but it also is a reflection of what society is going to do if we have a pandemic zombies aside from that, there's going to be a lot of lawlessness and radicalism and people, well, a lot of commerce being shut down, et cetera, et cetera. People going
right
into survival mode.
That's right. And it'd be little groups here and there of staying together to fight for survival. So.
Yeah. And we never do well. When humans panic, it doesn't go well.
No.
No.
Nope.
No. Yeah. But, yeah, there's a lot.
Let's see, we have a... Now, this is one that I think a lot of people worries about, the big, and it might be something like the Hadrian Collider over there. It says...
Hadron?
Yeah, the particle accelerator accidents. And if that thing, something went haywire over there, that could really cause some kind of catastrophe, you might say.
Wouldn't that be theoretical?
Yeah, well, that's what this is. This is scenarios. So something like that could happen.
Yeah. Then again, it'd be so quick we wouldn't even know it happened.
Yep.
So that's one of those things where, yeah, if the Hadron Collider did go completely bonkers and causes a black hole in the middle of the Earth, it would happen so quickly no one would even realize it ever happened.
Now that's
actually that's not right.
Oh no.
When you have a black hole, it's kind of reverse. Time slows down.
So
I won't age as quick?
Nobody will be moving very fast either. Time goes extremely slow at the event horizon.
Okay.
So we'd know, but we couldn't do anything about it.
So if time went that slowly,
it might be already happening.
Yeah. But how would I'm just trying to imagine one of the physicists at the Hadron Collider trying to send out a tweet saying, "Hey, this happened," and it just going very slowly. That's the image I have in my head right now. I'm like, okay, let's see how fast this would go through social media.
Now, if something, you know, hit the world real quick, like, or any one of these things happened where people just were killed all over the place immediately, where's all these ghosts going to?
Man,
I mean,
way to hit like the vein of paranormal theory.
Well, I mean, you got all these spirits wandering around. I mean, if the Earth is destroyed, where are they going to? I mean,
I guess it technically depends on who you're talking to and what the belief system is. So, how do I say it? I don't want to say it's like Schrodinger's cat, where it's all or nothing.
Right.
Kind of thing. That's not the right analogy. But with my belief system, I think ghosts are on actually a separate plane than us. And sometimes we're able to see them because something funky happens with the physics and we're able to just see over this dimensional void, I guess. The veil becomes thinner. It reveals itself to us. So the ghosts, nothing would happen to them because it would be a separate dimensional plane.
Well, I mean, the ones that are here, are they going to be able to get over there? I mean...
Well, they're already over there.
Oh.
They're never on with us. They pass over to that side.
Okay.
So they would be like watching a horror movie with the popcorn, watching all of us suddenly become, we'll just pop in on their side as we meet our ends. We're just like, oh, hey there, Grandpa.
Well, now,
I didn't expect to see you here. Oh, look, the Earth is ending.
There's one more here that I have,
okay.
And it's called the Gray Goo. Have you heard of that?
In my bathtub.
You got gray goo in your bathtub?
No, I really hope I don't. It doesn't sound good.
Have you heard of that, Barbara?
No, I hadn't heard that one.
Okay, it's called Robots Take Over and Keep Building More of Themselves and Destroy Everything Else.
Oh, so Terminator.
The Star Trek.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So
yes, technically I have heard of that, but only through pop culture.
Only through pop culture. Now,
they warned me. It's a world of Schwarzeneggers.
And I didn't get to, I totally forgot about it, I guess. If you're not here in the chat room and you do have questions, you can still ask them by sending us a email to theparanormalview@gmail.com and label it as question, and we will get those right out. If anyone has any other things they want to say about Doomsday, feel free to put it in the chat room or send it to us an email. And there are other ways that you can get those to us, aren't there?
Oh, you can tweet us a question over at Paraview Radio. And I am looking over Gmail and our Twitter as we speak.
So, with that, you guys got anything before we do a break or any more stuff you want to add on here real quick?
Well, not quickly.
Oh, well.
I have lots of articles we can I can read, and we also have the 10 notable, where is it? 10 notable apocalypses that obviously never happened.
We'll get to those. And Barbara, I know you've got some stuff.
Yep. Lots of stuff.
Was that a quick yes? Or?
Yeah,
that was a quick yes.
Oh, okay. That was real quick. I thought maybe somewhere Doomsday happened as it was coming to me, and I didn't get it.
It didn't get the memo.
Or it did that slow thing, and it slowed up before it got here. Well, tonight, since Jeff isn't here, we'll let Kat take us out, and I'll bring us back, and then we'll let Barbara take us out, and I'll bring us back. How's that sound?
Yes, that sounds like a plan.
So, I think we'll go ahead and take us a break.
Do you want me to take us out or not? Or do you want to do it?
No, you're going to. I'll bring us back.
Okay. So, everyone, you are listening to The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, and absent Jeffrey Gould, Barbara Duncan, and myself, Kat Kloko. Tonight, we're just discussing the history of Doom. Doomsday, that is. More Doom to come after the break.
It's always time for the dead to shine in Hollywood. The legendary Dearly Departed Tours has stepped up their ghostly game by offering the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour. Dearly Departed has long been an orb of hope in the paranormal world, having been featured on television's Haunted History and Haunted Collector. Their terrible tales have been made infamous in Marla Brooks' The Ghosts of Hollywood books. The new Ghosts and Legends Tour is a 10-block, 70-minute dusk-time stroll down the boulevard of broken dreams. You'll be guided through the golden age of Hollywood and see where the unearthly Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney, and the calamitous Black Dahlia are still said to linger. You'll see Hollywood's gothic hotels, legendary theaters, and restaurants, never forgetting their permanent occupants. No stranger to investigations, Dearly Departed Tours has first-hand knowledge of some of these hauntings. For details of the Hollywood Ghosts and Legends Walking Tour, find Dearly Departed Tours on Facebook, dearlydepartedtours.com, or call 1-855-600-DEAD.
You know, there's nothing like a great memory of a great time. And if you grew up during the 1950s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, boy, have we got the memories for you. There was no time more innocent than the 1950s or 60s, nor was there a time more politically explosive. Hi, this is Steve Shockley, a.k.a. The Shock. Join me live every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern for a Baby Boomer Rock with a Shock Sock Hop on rockwithashockradio.com.
This September 26th, come to see what awaits you in the long, dark halls of Pennsylvania's infamous Hillview Manor. The only way to keep yourself protected is to attend
HillCon 2015.
Hillview's Paranormal Community Convention.
That's right, kids. On September 26th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., grab the entire family and join us for the first ever Hillview Manor Paranormal Community Convention.
Hillcon.
Come and talk to the spirits, celebrity guests, speakers, psychic mediums, and vendors from all paranormal realms who will be coming together to connect with you at this fantastic event.
Hillcon.
Lectures, entertainment, and classes are also included in the mere $12 admission fee, $10 if you bring a non-perishable food item.
Then, as the day ends, the Hillcon investigation begins. For only $65 a person, you can investigate the long, dark halls of Hillview Manor alongside many of the event's celebrity guests. For this portion of the event, you must register and pay in advance. Cutoff date for bookings is September 1st, 2015. For more information, furiously key in the URL www.hauntedhillviewmanor.com. Sign up today, because tomorrow might be too late.
Hillview Manor, 2801 Elwood Road, Newcastle, PA, 16117.
So, you had a lucid dream about living in Atlantis, teaching telepathy, and you're wondering what it means. We can actually help. We are the School of Metaphysics, a 40-year-old international resource for people who have questions. Big, juicy, deep questions about life and death and everything in between. 16 branches in the U.S., self-guided study online, weekend courses, webinars, and books. Send us a telepathic fax or visit our website, www.som.org. This could be the start of something really interesting.
Hi, this is Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream Store in Gettysburg, the most haunted ice cream store in town. Stop in and see us next time you're around. We feature 16 flavors of homemade ice cream made right here in the store. Look forward to seeing you.
The asteroid will be hitting the western part of the world in 10 seconds. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, bend over, 2, 1, kiss it goodbye. And we're back. We did not.
It was actually Space Invaders, not asteroids. Oh,
good thing I played Galaga.
Pac-Man's invading the South tomorrow, but that's okay.
Welcome back. We are here talking about Doomsday, and we got still quite a bit of stuff here to go over. There's this one, and I forget who it was, where I got it from, but it was the probability of human extinction before the year 2100. Let's see, this is what, 2015? So we still got about 85 years. But it says the overall probability of human extinction is 19%. Molecular nanotechnology is 5%. The super intelligent AI, artificial intelligent, they keep making them boogers smarter and smarter. We could all be extinct from that, 5%. Wars, 4%. Engineered pandemic, 2%. Nuclear war, 1%. Nanotechnology accident, 0.5%. Natural pandemic, 0.05%. And nuclear terrorism, 0.03%. So, that is the extinction probability.
Okay. Which is interesting because with one of the articles I read, where did it just go? It was in the year 2026. November 13th, 2026. According to an article published in Science Magazine in 1960, this was the date that the world's population would reach infinity, resulting of the in the so-called doomsday equation.
It would reach infinity?
That's what they thought in 1960.
What do they mean by infinity?
I have no idea, but I would assume it meant so many people that are Earth. Yeah, the population could not, the Earth could not sustain them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the birth control pills invented.
I think that though is why you have wars and stuff, which kind of thins them down.
For resources?
Well, no, for the population. You have wars, which takes down the population.
So you're thinking people have wars on purpose to cut
No, that's not what I mean. I'm saying because of wars, the population keeps getting thinned down, so it probably won't never reach that, maybe.
Well, not only that, you also have issues with drinking water contamination and illness from that. I think that kills per year far more people than war does.
True. A lot of these, and I don't know why countries won't spend their money developing things to help get pure water, clean water and sanitation. And
because having that power over the people that they rule over is how they remain in control.
Yeah, which is bad. It's not good. I'm glad I don't live in none of those places. So.
Yes.
Okay. Barbara, why don't you start with some stuff?
Well, I can't help you. I'm here. I'm just trying to figure out which doomsday we should talk about first. Because there's so much going on right now. That the September 23rd date is coming up, and that is the one that everyone is concerned about at the moment, at least. And it is the blood moon, and it's called the blood moon because it's also a hunter's moon. It's the moon that's closest to the autumnal equinox on the 22nd of September. So we're right almost at the equinox anyway.
Now, we've had those before, though, right?
We have a full moon every year.
No, a blood moon?
Yeah, we've had like three in the past year and a half.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why is this one so much more special compared to the others?
It's just because of the pattern that it's happening at. This is not just a full moon, but it's also a eclipse. And when you have the eclipse, of course, eclipses of the sun and the moon portend a lot of doom and disaster. It's been that way forever because, the moon is eating the sun or the sun is eating the moon. Either way, it was just an omen. In this case, it also happens around the Hebrew holidays. And these last four are also within the Hebrew holiday, which goes back to another doomsday prediction of the end of the world. But we have This is the first time that it's a, well, I'm sure there's been an eclipse before, but this is a very special one as it is an eclipse moon as well.
It's an eclipse moon also. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's going to be a blood moon.
Yes.
Now, when they say blood moon, is it a different color?
The colors only come when there are atmospheric conditions. It would be so on the West Coast because we have a lot of smoke in the air from fires. So, yeah, it's going to turn a nice red. There are very few blue moons, but there is an atmospheric condition in which you can actually get a blue tinge to the moon.
I know a lot of times they have blue moon in Kentucky.
They have blue moon ice cream in northern Indiana. It's very tasty. Yeah. It's also blue.
Yeah.
You got to have a little fun with this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to die, you might as well die happy, right?
What's funny is when I was studying abroad in Japan, there was a kid from France who did a study abroad in Israel before he was at this particular campus, and he lived next to the Armageddon site, which is, and forgive me if anyone knows this better than I do, but the location where in the Bible it said Armageddon would happen, it was in his neighborhood, and people would play football or soccer on it. And it was just this large field. No one ever built on it.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I just went, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Armageddon is actually Megiddo, which is Tel Megiddo or Mount Megiddo. It's a site at which a town is built. It's, you know, raised in, you know, war or whatever, and then they build right on top of it again, and then on top of it again. So it's a higher hill, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It occurred on a stretch of an area which there are four different armies in ancient Rome and ancient Palestine that the armies would trek through. It was on a trade route. So you have Egypt, you have Syria, you have Anatolia, you have Mesopotamia. It's all on that road. So, of course, mm-hmm. if there's going to be a war, it's going to be on a route in which people could get to the war. So mm-hmm. that's what Armageddon.
Yeah, and they said that, I believe that whatever it is like 40 miles north of Jerusalem, yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, so. Yeah, the other, well, we could get into the whole rapture thing, but the end of the world is also supposed to be the rebuilding of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Right.
Aren't the Raelians trying to build an embassy in Jerusalem for the Elohim?
Possibly.
I think they are. They're trying. That was noted in one of these things. Yeah, the Raelians are working hard to establish an embassy in Jerusalem in anticipation of the 2035 arrival of aliens called Elohim, who will usher in a new age. However, their arrival is contingent on completing the embassy. And I don't think they've done that yet.
Now, I got one here that in 1346 to 1351,
mm-hmm.
Various Europeans, the Black Plague spreading across Europe was interpreted by many as the sign of the end of times because it was killing so many people, I guess.
Well, that would be very scary if you were a peasant at the time and everyone was just dropping like flies.
Yes. Yes.
Well, it pretty much was the end of the world in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
It wiped out complete cities in in a month. So I could see why it would be an apocalypse. Pretty much decimated Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they had all these predictions that went way, way, way back.
Oh, yeah.
So long before We even was thinking about it. They were predicting the end times. And of course, which leads us to Kat. It never happened. So,
yes.
You said you got 10 of them?
There's 10. I already read the first one, which was the Assyrian clay tablet.
Okay.
But the second one was called The Crusaders' Concerns. And by the way, this is from Smithsonian.com. The second apocalypse that obviously never happened was Pope Innocent III relied upon apocalyptic theory in his efforts to rally Europe to launch a fifth crusade to capture Jerusalem at the rest of the Holy Land from the Arab Empire. He identified the rise of Islam as the reign of the Antichrist. Wow, that sounds really familiar. Whose defeat would usher in the Second Coming. In 1213, Innocent III wrote, "A son of prediction has arisen, and the false prophet of Muhammad, who has seduced many men from the truth by worldly enticements and the pleasure of the flesh, we nevertheless put our trust in the Lord, who has already given us a sign that good is to come and that the end of the of this beast is approaching, whose number, according to the revelation of Saint John, will end in 666, or 666 years, of which already nearly 600 have passed. The prediction date was 1284. 7 years later, the last Crusader kingdom fell when the Sultan Khalil conquered the city of Acre." In present day, I don't think I pronounced that right. In present day Israel, the rest of the world, however, remained intact. Wow, I'm sorry I butchered that for everyone. Sorry about that. There's a bunch of people are just clawing at their ears. Why can't she pronounce these names?
She got tongue-tied.
I got tongue-tied.
She didn't have her glasses on, so she couldn't see what she was saying.
That's correct. I have my contacts in, and they dried up midway through a sentence.
Yeah, I'm a psychic, aren't I?
Hell yeah. Oh, get out of my head, Henry! And now I have some nice Italian names I need to read. This is great.
Okay.
Number 3. Vitelli paints his fears. The Renaissance is remembered as a golden age of art and learning, but the era also marked a resurgence of apocalyptic prophecies. The reason? Advances in timekeeping and in the astronomy encouraged standardization of the calendar, writes David Nuremberg, a professor of medieval history at the University of Chicago. While a string of calamities from the European point of view, such as the Turkish conquest of Constantinople, fomented a new numerological apocalyptic interest. Expectations of the apocalypse found their expression in the art of the period, the most famously in The Mystic Nativity, painted by Italian Renaissance master Sandro Botticelli. The lower part of the painting depicts several small devils wedged under rocks or pinned to the ground, while a Greek inscription offers this gloomy prediction. I, Sandro, painted this picture at the end of the year 1500 in the troubles of Italy in the halftime after the time according to the 11th chapter of St. John in the second woe of the apocalypse and the losing of the devil for 3.5 years. Then he will be chained in the 12th chapter and we shall see him trodden down as in this picture that would place the apocalypse around AD 1504.
The apocalypse when?
1504.
Yes. Wow.
All I can think of is at that time my ancestors were probably farming potatoes in Ireland or Scotland.
Now, at that particular time, let's see, I would presume that most people were still thinking that the world was flat.
Could have been. Let's see, I'm trying to think of map-making history very quickly, and it's escaping me. No. 1492 is when Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
All right.
So,
yeah, he didn't fall off then. So.
No, he didn't fall off. So I think by then they were starting to realize that we weren't flat. However, there are still people on the planet who think we do have a flat Earth.
Well, there's still people think that we're in some kind of a test tube, too.
That's very true. One theory, well, nah, I'm not going to say anything. Moving on. Let's see. Oh, finishing the rest of number three. Art historians believe that Bocelli was influenced by the sermons of Girolamo Savonarola. I'm sorry, all my our Italian listeners. A Dominican monk who urged both rich and poor alike to repent for their sins and renounce worldly pleasures, certain that the apocalypse was near. Savonarola predicted the sword of the Lord will come upon the earth swiftly and soon in the form of war, pestilence, and famine. I bet he was fun at parties.
What can I say?
Oh, man.
I'm still here.
I'm still here, too.
Quite a few years later.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
See,
wasn't that when we started our radio show back in, like, 1504?
1508.
Darn, those 4 years. The time. It really must be a black hole.
And it's interesting. I'm wondering where they're coming up with these dates. I know some of them, there's been mathematicians who've tried based on biblical text on, you know, how they came up with some of these predictions on the end of the world. It's very interesting. Some of them are very concise.
And you have some that wasn't predicting the end of the world, but they were predicting that the aliens were coming to get them. And whole groups of them committed suicide so they could be picked up by the aliens.
Oh, you mean the comet guys?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't remember their name.
There was a whole group of them somewhere who, and I forget what the name of the group was, but they took poison or something like that and laid in their bunks and died.
Oh, yeah. Man, the tennis shoe people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, what are they? Oh, they had a guy that had the white hair.
Yeah, and you sit there and wonder, where do they come up with this?
Heaven's Gate.
Thinkings.
Heaven's Gate, yes.
Yeah, that's it. Heaven's Gate. Yeah, yeah, and you wonder, where do they come up with these thinkings from?
I'm not sure. It was that a spacecraft was trailing the comet Hale-Bopp. And argued that suicide is the only way to evacuate the Earth so that the cult members' souls could board the space shaft.
Yeah. Oh, and Tropnavod brings up Jones with the Kool-Aid. That was a cult, though.
Yeah.
Right, right. They were cults.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they both were. That one was in...
I
remember that guy was from Indiana. Yeah. I remember that, but yeah.
Sheldon Niddle in 1996 predicted that December 17th, 1996 would be the end of the world with the arrival of 16 million spaceships and a host of angels.
Hmm, sounds like a party.
Yeah. I missed that one.
Yeah, me too. Where was I? Oh, I was in middle school. I just made everyone feel old, didn't I?
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. you aren't nearly as close to me as what you think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, I know how the end is going to world. Or, how, my God.
How this ends going to world?
This is why I read a script when I have to do the outro. Oh, man, that was beautiful. No one usually gets to witness that but Mike, when I just speak my sentences like Yoda.
Well, oh, it, is for, it is forever now captured.
Yeah, it is. Everyone's like, ah, we heard it. It happens.
Oh.
Yeah. So do you want me to keep reading? We're only at number... We've finished three. We have seven more to go. But, okay. Go so ahead. I'm going to take that as a yes. Yeah, but no, silence is...
There's another one, but it's not break time yet, so go ahead.
Okay. The dramatic flood that never came. In 1499, the German mathematician and astronomer... Oh, man.
When was this?
1499.
Okay.
I'm going to say his last name is Stolfer. Predicted that a vast flood would engulf the world in on February 20th, 1524. His calculations foretold 20 planetary conjunctions during that year, 16 of which would take place in a watery sign, aka Pisces. In Europe, more than 100 different pamphlets were published endorsing Stolfer's doomsday prophecy. Businesses boomed for boat builders, not least for German nobleman Count von Ingelheim, who constructed a three-story ark on the Rhine. Although 1524 was a drought year in Europe, a light rain did fall on the designated day. Crowds of people, hoping to gain a seat on Ingelheim's ark, began to riot. Hundreds were killed, and the count was stoned to death. Stolfer later recalculated the actual date to be 1528, but by then his reputation as a soothsayer had been ruined. That's a kind of shame, because according to the story told in 1558 by German historian Wolf, Stolfer once predicted that his life would be endangered by a falling body. He chose to spend that day indoors, where during a discussion with his friends, Stolfer reached to grab a book from a shelf, which came loose and smashed him on the head, seriously injuring him.
Hmm.
Yes.
Did that wake him up then?
I think it put him to sleep for a while.
Oh.
Yeah. I wonder how big that book was, man. Or how tall that shelf was. Or how short Stolfer was.
Or how big the book was?
Yeah. Yeah. Black skies over New England. At 9 a.m. on May 19th, 1780, the sky over New England was enveloped in darkness. An 1881 article in Harper's Magazine stated that birds went to roost, cocks crowded at midday. Man, wow! Hi, English! I've only been speaking it for 30 years or so. Crowed at midday as at midnight, and the animals were painfully terrified. The unnatural gloom was believed to have been caused by smoke from forest fires, possibly coupled with heavy fog, but at the time some feared the worst. People came out wringing their hands and howling, "The day of judgment is come," recalled a Revolutionary War fifer. The dark day ended at midnight, when the stars once again became visible in the night sky, but the lingering concerns about a pending apocalypse prompted some people to seek out an obscure Christian sect, the Shakers, who had recently settled near Albany, New York. A splinter of the Quaker movement, the Shakers preached complete celibacy as the true path to redemption. The Shakers knew an opportunity when they saw one and embarked on a 26-month mission throughout New England, which brought them hundreds of converts.
And it still didn't happen, did it?
Nope.
You know, there's been lots of people who has made the prediction that it's going to end on a certain day, and when it didn't, they say, "Oh, I miscalculated. It's going to end on this day," and then it didn't, and so forth and so forth. And eventually, if they keep guessing, maybe one day they might get
it
right.
You mean like Harold Camping?
Yep. Not just him. There's I've been reading through some of these, and there's people in here who's made three and four different predictions, and they keep having to change it because it didn't happen on the date that they said the first time.
Oh, yeah. Harold Camping made a religion out of it, so to speak.
Right.
And I don't think, I think he had a heart attack not very long ago, if I'm not mistaken, but he's predicted, how many here? One, September 6, 1994, September 29, 1994, October 2, 1994, March 31, 1995. And then again in 2011.
Hmm. Oh, was that the one that was in May?
Yeah.
I remember I was at a convention working, and I was like, oh, hey, the world's supposed to end today. It didn't. I just kept going.
Yeah. I don't want it to end for a while.
Well, even the amazing Criswell had a prediction for the end of the world on August
18th,
1999.
Mm. That's a random day. Yeah. Let's see.
I just thought of a really weird thought. What if you had, like, your wedding anniversary and you find out later that the world was supposed to end on that day? How would that make you feel? Like your birthday or wedding anniversary?
What a way to celebrate, I guess.
Yeah. I was born on Apocalypse Day! As told by Harold Camping.
There's one in here in this list. In 1658.
Yeah.
Christopher Columbus claimed that the world was created in 5343 BCE and would last 7,000 years, assuming no year zero. That means the end of the world would come in 1658. And apparently it didn't.
Hmm.
Because we're still here.
Yeah. Well, all of these are. Apparently it didn't because we're still here.
Pat said I'd still get a call from Walgreens that day.
Probably. Yes, you would.
Probably.
You could have been on the USS Salem with me last night where it was a Faraday cage. None of us could get a phone signal worth anything. And you would still get a call from Walgreens.
probably so.
Yes.
Let's see. I would say now that we could probably go ahead and do a break, unless CeCe's got something before we go out.
Before we get taken out?
Yeah.
Nah.
Before the end.
Before the aliens get us.
Before we're beamed up, fried, incinerated, tossed about.
Yeah.
Or zombie.
Well, at least I'll be
zombie
tasty.
Chow.
Zombie chow.
Yes.
Put some garlic on me.
Which is kind of funny. When everybody talks about zombies, what did zombies do? Did they go around just killing people? Did they eat the bodies? Did they just drink the blood? What did zombies do?
I'm trying to figure out where zombies changed from being these mindless walking corpses to eating brains. Which would be a little difficult if you're dead trying to get at a brain. But
yeah.
I just don't know where the... Or just being chomped in. Just like I said, being zombie chow. Which, yeah. I guess
that's
we
a good
taste
question.
Like chicken.
I don't know. Well, maybe if you cook them. Now, I don't know. I mean... isn't there places over in India where they eat monkey brains?
Well,
not
there's
in India,
a lot of places.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere over there.
And there's a very bad disease you can get from that, too.
Yeah, there is.
That one bit.
That one's mostly in Papua New Guinea, isn't
it? Encephalitis, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's kuru.
Yeah.
That's the one I was thinking of. That one's really bad.
It's a wonder they're not already dead, then.
But zombies don't care, because...
They don't care.
Zombies don't care, because they're zombies.
Because they're zombies. And yeah. We are crispy and good with ketchup.
So, what happens if they quit making ketchup, though?
Zombies, I guess. We'll just have to go to soy sauce or another condiment.
Sriracha.
Lots of pepper.
Chipotle human.
Let's go to break while we're eight.
Well, okay. Folks, you're listening to the Paranormal View, maybe for the last time, because we're all doomed here on Para X Radio with your hosts, Henry Foister, Cat Cloco, the suspiciously missing Jeffrey Gould, and myself, Barbara Duncan, and we'll be right back.
There's a darkness in the hallway. Voices that seem to come from nowhere. There's a feeling that something or someone is near. Where can you go? Who can you turn to? Para X Radio and the all-new Para X Vision can help. Our knowledgeable host and expert guest can help you find some answers and take a glimpse into the unknown. Para X Radio and Para X Vision. Programming for the open mind.
Don't go away. The Paranormal View will be right back.
Hi, I'm Mike from Mr. G's Ice Cream in Gettysburg. You're listening to The Paranormal View on Para X Radio Network.
Good news, everyone!
Hurrah! We're back, baby!
That's right, we're back! Hi, I'm Pat McCormick, and Ghost Soldiers Radio is back! We're teaming up with The Shock on Rock with The Shock Radio, and we are on a mission.
We're on a mission from God.
A mission to play great music and have fun.
God be praised!
Ghost Soldiers Radio starts May 16th at 10 p.m. on rockwiththeshock.com.
Hey, kid, you like music?
Sure.
Good.
So if you like music, join us as we move on up. Saturday, May 16th at 10 p.m.
Well, we're moving on up, to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
So join us May 16th at 10 p.m. for Ghost Soldiers Radio. Only on rockwiththeshock.com.
We finally got a piece of the pie.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network.
Ghost Hunters Case Log 451. The time? Thursday, 8 p.m.
Okay, we're going to start an EVP session. Is there anyone out there? Can you repeat that? I really need you to try to project louder and slower so we can all hear.
The Black Cat Lounge.
That's right, gang. Listen in. The Black Cat Lounge every Thursday night, 8 o'clock on Para X.
Rhett, where are you going?
I'm going back to the Paranormal View, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear.
Line.
Oh, you gotta be kidding.
But it's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, Kat Kloko, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
You don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
And welcome back, everybody, to the Paranormal View right here on the Para-X Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight and to those listening from around the world. Speaking of that, Barbara, where do we have listeners from tonight? Barbara has left us.
Sorry. Fending off zombies.
Is it ended already?
In the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, unknown are all listening in.
Woohoo!
The unknown. Yeah. See, it's already happened there.
There's the third week in a row. Bigfoot and his spacecraft orbiting the moon.
Ooh, and I have to bring this up because we were talking about Zombie Chow before. They are not sponsors of the show. However, if they'd like to send us a sample, I'll be willing to try taste it on the air. There is a new product out called Soylent.
It's called
Soylent.
What? Soylent.
As if they were Charlton Heston fans when they were growing up and watched the movie Soylent Green. Because Soylent Green is people.
And who's sending that?
I don't.
Oh.
If they'd like to.
She said if,
you would
test it. All
tested
on the air.
But this Soylent's actually made out of soy, isn't it?
Supposedly. It's not green.
Yeah. Soylent Green is people, huh?
I wonder how nutritious a human is.
I don't know. People's eat people before and try and stay alive.
Yeah, but I don't know how nutritious it really is compared to other meats.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if you're able to cut the meat out and roast it and cook it, I don't know what it would taste like, but it would probably be some sort of a meat.
Well, I'm talking about nutrient value, though. Like, how are we compared to pork, compared to cow, compared to fish?
I don't know. Ask the zombies.
Has anyone ever tested this?
No.
And
no.
No, you're not going to test me.
I wasn't implying that.
I am not volunteering for that one.
I guess no one has donated their body to science to test this.
I guess we're still talking about doomsday. I got one before we go on very much here for each one of you guys. Is have you ever thought about the end of the world or Have you ever had bad thoughts or worried about it or scared that it might happen?
No.
Well, that's quick.
Yeah, I know. I mentioned it earlier in the show. It's just—it's not something that keeps me up at night.
If it's a fast end of the world, it wouldn't be a problem. It's when society goes berserk that they're going to be more of a threat than the actual cause of the end of the world, the annihilation.
Yeah.
Right. And the way that things would happen, I mean, you know, you got, like I was reading before, you got all kinds of different things that can happen, and some of it ain't going to be quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like just the Earth exploding and it's over with, you know. The Earth runs out of resources. Well, you know, that could be pretty bad. So, I don't know. I mean, if you've got one of those solar-powered generators or something like that, you could at least have heat and different things like that, I guess. Maybe something, some way, well, to cook by or something, maybe. One of them hot plates. Plug it in.
You mean a fire?
No.
You can start a fire?
No, you can get an electric...
a generator.
Well, sun-powered, right.
Yeah.
Solar-powered, but you can have a hot plate, which is an electric hot plate, and you can plug it in, and which you can cook food and stuff on.
It's funny, because I'm just thinking about the end of the world or a serious issue with, like, our power system, and you cooking pancakes on your solar-powered hot griddle.
Oh.
While everyone else is, like, looting and Mad Maxing it to the maximum level, and Henry's like, anybody want pancakes? I have a hot griddle.
Pat said, Australia is a place to be at the end of the world. Mel Gibson showed us that.
Well, there's a wonderful movie out with Steve Carell in it called Seeking a Friend for the End of the World. And it was probably one of the better ones I've seen where people don't go just berserk. But they just try to all have a good time.
That's a good movie.
Oh, it's a very good movie. And at the end, of course, everybody dies.
Yeah. Right. Well, there was another one out where there was a submarine, and the guys on the submarine were like the last ones left. And they steamed into San Francisco, and one of the guys was from San Francisco. And I guess it had a nuclear war everywhere. So you'd only live so long once you got out of the submarine, and they let him go ashore, and he just showed San Francisco as being just empty, no people, and he sitting there as the submarine was leaving with a fishing pole fishing. Another guy on there used to race cars and stuff, and he got off the boat and had his race car and was just driving it around by itself. So, it was a pretty good movie. They all ended up dying from the radiation.
Oh, wait, what is that? The Last Man on Earth? Is that a comedy series?
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? Yeah. That one was pretty amusing, too. I didn't get through the entire series, but I found it amusing. Hmm. Yeah. So, I actually found a list of... the 10 best Earth in Distress movies following this line of thought.
Swamp Lady said at least he'd have his pick of the beachfront property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the 10 best. Number one, or the first shown to me, Armageddon from 1998. I remember that one, and it's song. The Core from 2003. The Day After Tomorrow, 2004. The Day the Earth Stood Still, 2008, which I know somebody who would completely say no to that one. Deep Impact, 1998. Let's see. Independence Day, 1996. That one's a fun one. Yep. Knowing from 2009. Mars Attacks from 1996. 2012 in 2009, War of the Worlds 2005. That's the last one.
Well, what was wrong with War of the Worlds, the first one?
I think the first one's better.
Yeah.
It's the same with the one I mentioned earlier. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
The original one.
Yeah, the original one is much better.
Right. Too, and yeah, Omega Man's not on there. And that was a really good apocalypse movie.
Yeah, but that's the quick list of 10, according to IFC. Yeah.
Well, let's see. Predictions and stuff from... Let's see how far back we want to go with this. All these people kept making predictions and none of them come true. That's pretty bad. Let's see.
It's not like, you know, they have to give their money back. You can predict pretty much anything.
All right. Oh, Herbert W. Armstrong. He was the founder of the Worldwide Church of God, told members of his church that the rapture was to take place in 1936, and that only they would be saved. After the prophecy failed, he changed the date 3 more times, and still didn't take place. I wonder why.
So what happened to him?
Let's see. It doesn't say what happened to him.
Oh,
sorry.
Whoa.
I didn't mean to. I hit the microphone with a piece of paper.
Okay. Now you're trying to scare all of us.
It wasn't the end of the world coming. this is the one in 1967. The founder of the People's Temple stated he had visions that a nuclear holocaust was to take place in 1967, and that was Jim Jones. Isn't he the one that passed out the Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't never, no matter what they say, drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, whoever who predicted that Henry would mispronounce something just won.
Why? What did I pronounce?
Don't never.
How did I mispronounce that?
You didn't, but it's a double negative, so I'm going to throw it in there.
Well, that meant that it was a negative.
No.
I was just expressing that.
Everyone take a shot.
Let's see if I can not hit the microphone again.
Yeah.
All right, Cece. Come up with some stuff here.
I was just thinking of the line in Murder by Death, which is, what do you hear? I don't hear nothing. What do you hear? Double negative and dog.
I did not write that. I want to let you know. I didn't do it.
Well, like I said, there's been so many different end of the world.
Oh, here's...
Go.
Here's one that... was predicted not too long ago, and one that people knows. Pat Robertson. In late 1976, Robertson predicted that the end of the world would come in 1982. I didn't do that. That was
somebody eating chips?
That was probably Cece.
There are no zombies here.
That wasn't
only Lay's potato chips.
That wasn't you did that?
Brains.
No. Oh dear.
Well, I have no idea where that come from then. We're being invaded right now.
It's unknown.
Because that wasn't me. I didn't do it. Let's see. Wow. This guy in 1988, Edgar C. Wisnant. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
Wisnant predicted in his book 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Could Be in 1988 that the rapture of the Christian church would occur between 11 and 13th September 1988. After his September predictions failed to come true, Wisnant revised his prediction date to October 3rd, and apparently it didn't come true then either. So he decided that, it just didn't come true. Don't know what happened to him. He didn't say any more.
I'm trying to find some of the goofiest predictions.
Let's see. Oh, here's one. Sheldon Nidley. 1996.
You're going to say Sheldon Cooper.
I thought so too.
No, California psychic Sheldon Nidley predicted that the world would end on this date, which was December 17th, 1996, with the arrival of 16 million spaceships and a host of angels.
Oh, yeah, that was...
She must be from that mountain up above there. What's that? Mount Shasta?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's pronounced Niddle.
Niddle?
Niddle.
Okay.
Ah.
Yeah.
That sounds fun. When if end times go, that sounds like a good way to go. Aliens and angels. Sounds like it should be a comic book.
Well, you know, what do you guys think that might happen?
I don't think it will happen. Like, I guess I'm kind of, maybe I've watched too much Doctor Who, where I'm ever, how do I say, not upbeat, but I'm optimistic about humanity. Like, I'm pretty sure we will figure out a way to solve the problem. We're pretty smart about things like that. We also are highly adaptable. So unless it's something so catastrophic that it would wipe us all out in one clean thing, in one clean sweep, I think we will figure out a way to solve it. Whether it be disease or even zombies. I mean, even the zombie apocalypse can't last forever because human bodies decomp. So it would only last, like, maybe 3 weeks.
They might have an anti-decomposing agent.
If they do, they have found the secret of eternal life. Because just think about it. If you're, like, a zombie, even, like, in, let's say, the rainforest, you got 3 days tops before you're just goo.
Goo. Is it the gray goo?
The gray goo. Just because you're... soft tissues would just turn to slush and you would stop being able to walk and move because your muscles and tendons would just turn into goo and you'd just be this zombie that is just slowly decomping and wasting away. But then I don't know, do zombies have a consciousness? Are they aware of their surroundings? But the more, like, northern you get or the southernmost you get, like closer to the poles, the decomp levels do slow down, but eventually, at most, you got 3 weeks before your just body can no longer move.
Or you freeze to death.
Or you freeze to death. Yeah.
Pat said that it's available at Walgreens, Zombie Rid. I'm waiting for that phone call. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 1999, July. Nostradamus, a prediction attributed to Nostradamus stating the King of Terror would come from the sky in 1999 and 7 months led to fears of the end. That didn't happen either. And he wasn't around to even see it. So let's see here. We got tons of them.
Yeah, there's so many. People have been making predictions for thousands of years. Let's see. 247 BC. Let's see, where did I just go? Rome celebrated its 1000th anniversary this year. At the same time, the Roman government dramatically increased its persecution of Christians, so much so that many Christians believed that the end of the world had arrived. That's not really that. That's not supposed to be odd. That's just an interesting thing.
You know, the government has secret places built for, like, if there is some kind of terrorism or nuclear war or anything like that.
For EMF, solar EMF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they've got places where they can go to and be locked underground. With them building those kind of places,
mm-hmm.
How much do you think that they feel that there is a great possibility of something like that happening?
I don't know. I'm not them.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying... They've got all these secret places just for the uppity-ups government people. Yeah.
You got to think of it from the standpoint of be prepared. So, I mean, mm-hmm. an EMF pulse from the sun is extremely likely.
Yeah.
I liken it to, somebody explained it, it was really well done, about insurance and you look at the probability of something happening and scale it to how many people would be affected by it. So an asteroid hitting the Earth is extremely unlikely, but everybody's going to be affected by it. So it has a high, impact rate.
Right.
Stubbing your toe is a very individual thing. While it may be likely you do it, it's not going to be that much of an impact. So you look at a standpoint from the government's point of view that, yes, an EM pulse could hit. How do we protect the infrastructure? And it's a likely impact. Solar flares happen all the time. A massive one may not be, but you still have to, you want to be prepared for things.
And how did the song go out there and they'll tie their boats up in Idaho? In other words, California was going to be gone?
Except that we're not on a fault line like that. Ours is a strike-slip fault zone, which means San Francisco will end up in Seattle eventually, but it won't go into the ocean.
Huh. Really?
Yep.
It'll end up in Seattle.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a long way moving north, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And that would be one big shaker.
It's going to happen over several eons.
Yeah.
Maybe in
it's
a couple
happening
million
right
years.
Now.
Yeah.
Ow.
Now, that one wasn't CC, was it?
No, that was me.
That's what I thought.
That was me kicking my desk.
Oh, I thought you were going to try to blame that one on CC.
No, that one was me. Yeah.
So what's the probability, do you think, of aliens? Do you think we would be attacked by aliens, or is aliens going to be friendly?
Stephen Hawking seemed to think
they're
so. They're
going to be bringing their ray guns.
What was that, CC?
Stephen Hawking seemed to think so. That aliens
that
would be hostile.
Yeah?
I think aliens have given up on us and gone home.
I know just the person to ask if the aliens are going to be hostile. And that would be Ghost Soldier Pat. Pat, tell us, are the aliens going to be hostile?
Why does it feel like you're asking this over like a Ouija board?
Because he's in the chat room.
Yeah, I know.
It says, answer
we
Hazy, ask again.
We already had attacks. Oh, now the truth comes out.
Answer Hazy, ask again.
Pat knows. He says, call me. Well, let me see if he's online here. Pat, you online? Let me look and see. if it says he's on here, and then I could probably do that. Let's see. He says he's on Skype. Okay. All right, then. Let me see if we can get him in here. How's that sound? And we'll find out.
Yeah, part of the reason this September 23rd has hit home is the fact that it landed in the Jewish calendar. It's happened about six times since calendars were happening, although not every eclipse has happened on a Sabbath, but people have to remember the Jewish calendar is lunar. And so it's going to eventually line up. That's mathematically how it works. But yeah, when you're dealing with a lunar calendar and holidays based on the lunar calendar, then eventually it will show up.
Pat, are you with us?
Hello, Henry. Hello, Kat. Hello, Barbara. Hey, I am here.
Hi, Pat.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing good. We're just talking about Doomsday.
Yeah, I was listening to the stuff you're saying about the aliens, and of course there have been already documented incidents where the United States government and other governments have either fired on or been attacked by aliens, and there's now a consensus that there is a leave them alone kind of order out now to not engage these things after so many incidents where the military actually had gone after things and were unable to shoot them down. In fact, some of the incidents actually report, and these are from various military people, high-ranking people, that they shot at these things, and a little while later, like a missile was launched, but one of these guys got a lock and launched a missile. And about 4 hours later, a ship that was patrolling up a river that was also firing on one of these UFOs was hit by an actual missile. This is all documented. Took out a big hole in the side of the ship, and it was their own missile they had launched, that the plane had launched earlier.
And that was that in Vietnam War?
Yes, it was. That was documented in Vietnam, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Admiral Byrd, when he went to Antarctica, not many people talk about this, but he was on a mission and he took several ships and military equipment and went down to Antarctica. And when he came back, he didn't really want to talk about it, but there was a story written up where they had encountered a very large UFO down there, actually underwater at the time. And the ships had gone after this thing and fired upon it. And a battle ensued. And we lost, I believe, three different ships and a number of planes and helicopters before they actually captured Admiral Byrd and took him and said, look, we'll stop firing here. You guys stop firing. And when you get back to Washington, you can't tell your leaders anything about this. Just stay out of here. You do not need to be down here. Well, a while later, he comes back and he gives a speech. And although he didn't indicate that there was a battle, they had problems locating three ships. Imagine that. They were just missing. And several people in helicopters. And what he actually slipped and said during a live interview that if a war was to start again, it would come from the poles, from either the South Pole, Antarctica, or the Northern Pole. And that was due to the fact that this is where the Earth's magnetic fields come together in such force that they create the Northern Lights. And it's thought that that's how the aliens are able to actually use a vortex, a wormhole, would have to have an amount of energy like from the sun. And that's where they think those are, both at the North Pole and the South Pole. And he even said that there's a piece of footage you can get from the DOD where he says it'll come from the North Pole or the South Pole because we think aliens coming in from outside and above our planet. If they're traveling those distances, yeah, there may be ones that have motherships, but a lot of them would be using technology like a wormhole to get here. So that's some of the stuff that people don't know about unless you work for the Discovery Channel like I do.
Like you do.
So, yeah, it's fascinating stuff. So there's already been battles. There's already been things. I think it was Brazil, a pilot down there fired, and he said his bullets had no effect on this thing, you know? It's like they absorbed them. And they had a light come out of the main craft and come around and circle his plane. And was it they actually were able to, the aliens, to turn off just the weapon systems on some Air Force F-16s that tried to shoot. So the guys didn't die. The planes didn't, you know, just shut down. They were able to selectively turn off weapon systems. Now, if they can do that, how are you going to fight that? You just back off. So now the Air Force has a standing order. All their planes, anybody who, you know, do not engage. You know, let them do whatever they want to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now, from what I also understand, the American government is already in contact with two or three different races of aliens.
Oh, yeah. President Eisenhower was the first one to actually meet with aliens, and this was also documented at an Air Force base. And they came in, and they basically, you know, gave them the red carpet treatment. And our government has supposedly had aliens working in it for years. There were secret code names in the Pentagon that were used to cover these people. And the Majestic 12 refers to a group of people that in the government. And some of those were supposed to be actual alien-human hybrids walking around with us. So This has been going on for a long time.
Wow. So in your theory, are they here to hurt us or to use some of our resources?
I think a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. They're actually looking at us as resources as well, because it seems like these things are either clones or extremely genetically deficient. And when they take people and into the spacecraft, they're often examined. And DNA samples are taken, blood's taken, other stuff is taken. So we think they're trying to revive a dying race, which is what happens when you start genetically, you know, picking and choosing and you start limiting options. And eventually that will just wind up shutting down the genetic ability to reproduce. So they have no way to reproduce. And it often appears that these grays, the aliens that are called grays, the little gray ones, are clones and may actually be sort of like a robot clone where they're, you know, they don't have stomachs. They don't eat. They're, you know, able to just process things and keep moving. But they're not, you know, what we would think of as like individual alien beings in some cases. They're just a bunch of clones sent down to do some jobs. Yeah, which is why they show no remorse, you know. But there are different species that appear to do show remorse. But, yeah, it's fascinating stuff that they're trying to use people and harvest DNA. And I think they're actually, you know, messing with our DNA and probably have been for millions of years. The big jump that happened in evolution, they still can't figure out. Well, that only happens one way. A huge amount of DNA injected into something to cause such a giant leap forward from, you know, being a walking ape to being, you know, a caveman able to, you know, talk and make tools. And I really think, like a lot of people feel, that ancient aliens were the result, or what we're the result of their experiment.
Wow. Very interesting.
And we had a question in the chat room from Brookie who asked if the aliens were our allies.
Well, that's a good question. I know we've gotten technology from the aliens in exchange for letting them kind of have their way, fly around and do whatever they want. So there is some kind of agreement like that. Mm-hmm. And there was supposedly a race of aliens that were very human-like, not like the Greys. They looked like us, except they were a little bit taller, I believe. And they made contact in Florida back in the 1960s, I think, and offered to basically protect us if we gave up all our nuclear weapons and started taking care of the planet. And, of course, our government was like, no way, we're not doing that. And they flew off, but there's some people that believe they're still kind of watching out for us. And there's still kind of some agreement where the Greys are, you know, they're also watching out for us because they're using us, you know. We're valuable to them, and our planet is valuable to them. They, you know, often are seen near power plants, nuclear power plants, nuclear testing areas, you know. And I think they have the ability to pull their energy maybe from these things. So, yeah, it's unbelievable what goes on out there.
So have we ever learned maybe where they are from?
There's a couple of theories. The one is, of course, Orion's Belt. Because of the way the pyramids are aligned in Egypt, they reproduce Orion's Belt almost exactly with position. And so a lot of people believe they were markers trying to tell us, you know, hey, this is where we're from. So that is one thing that we think may be true. And there's also another planet, was it Rigelus, maybe, that appears in some stories. So there does seem to be in that area. And then this is only about, I think it's like 100 light years away. So relatively close in space terms.
In space, you know? Terms.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're an alien ship and you got the warp drive figured out, you know, that's almost a you know, that's like an hour trip for you, you know?
Like that, but 100 light years, to see how long would we have to live to be able to get there?
Well, yeah, that would be, you'd have to put yourself in one of those sleep chambers, you know? Like,
Slow everything down to a stop almost, yeah.
Yeah, like Planet of the Apes, the first one, when they were all in there and sleeping, and then they woke up.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to go there, though, Henry.
Well, Pat, thanks for taking the time to tell us that. Are you doing your show tonight, or is Doug doing it?
Doug is on the hot seat, so, yeah, I had no problem coming in here and helping out and talking to you guys. But thanks again. Always a pleasure. Enjoy listening to the show all the time. And
well, thank you.
Yeah.
And, we'll get you on sometime, have a whole show talking about the aliens.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good.
There's some fascinating things, including the fact that we, at this time, our own government probably has what's called a space force.
And is that on the dark side of the moon?
No. We just in space ourselves. Oh. We have craft that are actually able to replicate most of what the alien ships do. They're triangular in shape, and we'll talk about those. Yeah, they're pretty interesting.
All right, we can do that too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the end of next month we will be with you at Antietam.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Woohoo!
And get to do all our stuff on Halloween. So
yeah, that, man,
that'd be really interesting.
That's the holy day for us, Henry.
Yep. And next week, Kat and I will be at Hillview Manor.
Yep.
So we'll be
all right.
Go live from there. So that ought to be really interesting. And that one also. So
cool.
Yeah. So I can't wait till the end of next month so we can be out there. Kat's gonna get a come. And Carrie, she can't come. Carrie will be at Hillview Manor with us, though. So,
yay!
You better hope the world doesn't end before then.
Yeah. If it does, it doesn't matter then, does it?
I guess not, Henry. Oh, man. But, yeah, good stuff, guys. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to seeing you guys at Antietam. That's just going to be some really cool stuff. And there's some actual, other than ghosts and soldiers, a lot of history to that area that
– oh, yeah.
About this thing that actually was sort of like a flying dinosaur that was seen in the area for a while.
Is that the Snarlygaster?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Congratulations. You get a free drink for that one. Yes. And the locals reported this thing for years, and they used to tell their kids, you know, don't go out, it'll get you. And, you know, it lives up there, and they actually saw, like, younger ones, you know, like, so there was a family of them. And then the sightings just went away over the years and eventually disappeared. But, you know, how cool is that?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. No, I love Snarly. And if you listen to Darkness Radio and hear Dave Schrader's impersonation of Snarlygaster, it is fantastic.
Oh.
Nice. It,
yes. All yeah, right. I broke the sound barrier with my cheer. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Matt, won't you give out your plug for your show real quick, like?
Yeah, we're at rockwiththeshock.com. Also, simulcast on hooveradio.com. And Doug's probably warming the turntables up right now. And he's got Dire Straits at midnight. So
love Dire Straits, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Magnificent Seven of Dire Straits. So, going to be a good one.
I might be able to come over and listen. I got to, right after the show gets done, I got to go down and check on Patsy, make sure she's doing okay, and then I'll probably come back up and get over there for a while.
Sounds great, Henry. Appreciate you having me on. Always good to talk to you, Kat, and
yes.
You too, Barbara. So you guys have a great weekend.
All
thanks,
right.
You too.
It's our pleasure. So with that, Kat, why don't you give out our information tonight?
Oh, man, I was not prepared for this. So, everyone, you can follow The Paranormal View on Twitter at Paraview Radio. You can also email us over to theparanormalview@gmail.com. Jeff also has all of our archives somewhere on his website. Sorry, Jeff. Well, and also you can listen to us on iTunes. Just search for us, The Paranormal View, in the podcast.
And we have all the lists for Jeff and everything on our website, paranormalview.com. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Barbara?
Yep.
You got anything?
Nope.
Barbara is on Facebook.
I am on Facebook. I'm on Twitter, too.
And
Ellen Smithy.
Ellen Smithy. And Barbara puts up great photos all the time of cemeteries and stuff. So she's pretty busy other than that. With that, our time has just about run out. Apparently our show did pretty good. I didn't hear anybody say that it was skipping or missing or anything like that, so I am very pleased with that.
Woohoo!
So want to thank everybody for taking time here in the chat room and from around the world for listening. Like I say, next week we will be at Hillview Manor. And we'll also be doing an investigation after the show. There's an event there. Feel free to come over to it on Saturday. And you can get in and talk to us if you like. And they should still have tickets available if you want to do the investigation Saturday night. With that, it is time for us to run. This is Henry Foister.
Barbara Duncan.
And Kat Cloco.
And what did I do with my thing? I done missed it somewhere. I did something. I lost it somewhere. Come back.
Oh, great. Henry lost his thing.
Come back. Come back.
Oh, man.
Come back. There you are. Okay. We will see you guys next week at the same time. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to The Paranormal View on the Para-X Radio Network. Join us again next week at the same time for more of the Paranormal View.